cookbook was written by Fanny Farmer. Now, that's a misconception arising from the fact that Fanny was the first big name in culinary arts to insist on standardized level measurements in her printed recipes. And also, the Fanny Farmer cookbook, originally published in 1896, entitled The Boston Cooking School Cookbook, is perhaps the nation's best-known text of its kind. But the truth is that American history is littered with cookbooks. Years prior to the publication of Fanny's famous tome, there were cookbooks being published in New York and Philadelphia and Chicago, especially Philadelphia. Among the first American cookbooks was Susanna Carter's The Frugal Housewife, printed in Philadelphia a full century before Fanny Farmer's. So where did folks first start writing cookbooks? Well, François-Pierre de la Verrienne was a renowned French chef, and it was he who established the culinary vocabulary with which the world of fine cuisine has since been familiar. It was he who gave us such words as petit-fours and bouillon, crouton and rotisserie, and so on. Verrienne's book, entitled simply The French Cook, was translated into English in 1653. Even then, this statement in the translator's foreword, quote, "Of all cooks in the world, the French are esteemed the best." Yet while that cookbook was the very first to categorize recipes clearly and to include a detailed table of contents, no, it was not the first cookbook. A Swiss German named Anna Wecker gave her cookbook a remarkable sounding title, A Scrumptious New Cookbook of All Sorts of Things, and that one was dated 1605. It was dedicated to the average housewife. She was the first author of a cookbook who was a woman. But that was not the first cookbook. 9 years before that, Bartolomeo Scappi published Cooking Secrets of Pope Pius V. The volume includes 28 illustrations, many of which depict cooking utensils used in the Pope's kitchen. The most significant illustration is that of a place setting. It shows a then virtually unheard of implement, a fork. But within four decades, the entire civilized Western world would be using forks. And yet, while the world's first cookbook was the work of a great Italian chef, that chef was not Scappi. History's earliest cookbook was in circulation in the early 1400s. Many of its recipes are remarkably sophisticated, one in particular for ham with figs baked in pastry. That first ever cookbook, and we've done some exhaustive research, that first ever cookbook was entitled De Re Cucinaria. It was available in 1400, but it was written long before. Two of the oldest surviving manuscripts date back to the 9th century, and one copy is presently the property of the Vatican Library. For the author of De Re Cucinaria, the original great Italian chef was named Apicius, A-P-I-C-I-U-S. He, the culinary artist responsible for history's first known cookbook, established his phenomenal reputation in ancient Rome. I mean ancient Rome, a mere 150 years after the birth of Christ. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
Okay, we're back, and the phone lines are open, 238-5775. Give us a call. We've been talking about the debate last night. We can talk about anything you want, but give us a call. When you were watching the debate last night, they got into talking about Afghanistan a little bit, and Biden's making a statement, Afghanistan was perfect. This is after Trump criticized him for the fiasco that was and the departure. And Biden comes back, said there was nothing wrong with that. I'm paraphrasing here. It was a perfect withdrawal. Everything went great. We evacuated 100,000 people, neglecting to mention the good number of that 100,000 people. First of all, we're not designated people to withdraw. As anybody could get on an airplane, we left, literally left, thousands of people behind, hundreds of very sensitive people worked with us in intelligence who've since been hunted down and often captured and killed by the Taliban, and they're still doing that, by the way. Special operations forces, people who have previously worked in special operations, people who gotten out of the service, mounted efforts to rescue as many of these people as they can through private means. But yet the most stunning thing at all is when Biden asserted there were no casualties, that nobody got killed, there was nobody dying in Afghanistan. How could he forget the 13 American service members that were killed and by a suicide bomber at that gate in Afghanistan, in Kabul, Afghanistan, at the last days? 13 young men and women lost their lives as a direct result of his incompetence, the incompetence of the State Department, the incompetence of the people on the ground to properly plan. And oh, by the way, all the accounts that I've written came back and says he was advised by the senior military leadership in the Pentagon, do not do this. At this time, do not do this in this manner. Mr. President, we need more time. And he flat out refused to listen to them. You can have the best intelligence in the world. You can have the best generals in the world. But they have to obey orders. And they're told, no, we're doing this now. That's the president's decision. Biden owns this. Yet he could not remember that 13 young Americans lost their lives as a direct result of his incompetence in the way that he conducted that evacuation. And you can hand that off to Secretary of State Blinken, because the State Department had a lot to do with that in delaying and failing to prepare what was going on and what needed to happen. And there's account after account after count. There's a book out called Kabul that I read some time ago of people who were there on the ground, people who are in positions to know what happened. And they talk about in great detail the incompetence of this administration and how they handled that. I can only imagine how bad it would be today, because he was a lot more cogent, you know, a couple of years ago than he is now. But did any of you pick up on that or anything else that may have gone on in that debate last night? Now, there's a lot in the newspapers in the last couple of days. They talk about the economy, and they have these 16 Nobel laureate economists have come out, and they don't talk about their qualifications too much, but this is one thing we were not told by the press, about how they're criticizing Trump. They say if Trump comes back, it'll be a disaster for the economy. Okay. Well, 14 of these economists, these same guys, predicted in 2021 that Biden's spending plans would ease long-term inflationary pressures. It was 5% at the time before peaking at 9% and stayed above 5% until April of 2023, and it's still around 3%, which is 50% higher than the Federal Reserve's target. Basically, his price has gone up about 20%, just under 20% under Biden. And these economists all said that wouldn't happen. At least 9 of these individuals also predicted in 2016 that Trump would be bad for the economy. Well, Trump's economy, Biden's economy, which one would you rather have? How much are you paying for gas now versus what you were paying back in 2020 when Donald Trump was still president? And then from 2017 until the COVID shutdowns of 2020, the economy is doing great. He cut taxes for virtually everybody that paid taxes. Wages were higher, more or less, relative to the amount of cost of living. Energy production was abundant because he was allowing us to use the energy that we have in the ground. He's using natural gas that was cutting emissions, even under Clinton, since the time of Clinton. Natural gas has cut our emissions back to the same levels that they were in the early 1990s. Yet we're not allowed to use natural gas because it's a, quote, evil fossil fuel. Trump recognized that, and no one was thinking about inflation at that time. But these are the guys that said he's going to be bad for the economy. So just because someone's got a bunch of awards, you know, academics give each other awards, don't let them fool you. Sometimes they just don't know what they're talking about. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Fonzie. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I am doing fabulous. Thank you for asking. Thank you for having me on. I just wanted to talk a little bit about this. You don't believe your lying eyes, PSYOPs campaign that the Democrat Party, by the way, if people want to read a good book, read The Democrat Party Hates America, because it's absolutely true. I wish Democrats would read that book, because I think they might rethink their affiliation, but that's just me. But the Don't Believe Your Lying Eyes PSYOPs campaign that's going on right now is breathtaking. I don't know how many people out there can really watch what occurred last night and think anything other than this guy is not just well. He is absolutely gone. This man's eyes look dead. he did not look like he was even with us. And I don't know what they injected in him, but I got to tell you, any doc out there who was watching that must have been just blown away, because this guy does not belong any place else than in a care facility or with his family. And the fact that his family would allow him to go out and be on display like that, and then afterwards his wife suggests that he did just so great, I think that is beyond evil. And I'd just like to get your comments on that, Al.
Well, I've watched that. I watched it this afternoon. I watched between 2 and 3. There was a rally in North Carolina, and she was there introducing him. And she said, what a great job he did, how strong he was, and all this bunch of nonsense. Because, you know, and in this rally, he was reading off a teleprompter. He obviously was much more animated than last night. But I think last night was a free form, and he did not have the support mechanisms that he normally is accustomed to prop him up. And he kind of crashed and burned, not once, but multiple times. And I think you're absolutely right. The presidency is probably the most stressful job on the planet, given the things that are involved. You know, this man has control of over 5,000 nuclear weapons, 3,000 plus of which are primed and ready to launch upon a presidential order and confirmation from another administration, high-level administration official. And that's scary. Because if we came under an attack, let's say that Putin uses a tactical nuclear weapon in Ukraine, I guarantee you all the alarm bells in the world are going off in the Pentagon, the State Department, the White House, and everything else. The president will probably rush off to some bunker someplace, and people are going to be saying to him, Mr. President, what shall we do? What shall we do? And they'll leave him options out, and he has to know, and he's not ready for that.
Well, I'd like to just ask the listeners, if you had any question, if you're an independent or somebody that just didn't know at this stage, Donald Trump was on his A game. He was right there. He responded to every question. He was sharp. He was completely engaged. He was completely lucid. He was just on it. And then you compared that to what the Joe Biden was, and there was no comparison. However, here we are with the PSYOPs campaign, and this is a PSYOPs campaign. There's no question about it. When you have a media group or when you have people that are actually going out and suggesting that he did such a fantastic job and repeating that, I've got to ask people a question. What is going on here? How deep is this in the deep state and in the government that they are doing, pulling out all the stops to prop this man up and oppose Donald Trump, who is by far the best candidate we could ask for at this stage? And yeah, he's rough on the edges. He's a self-made man, done incredibly well. He's very successful, and all he wants is success for the American people, and people are pushing back against that. I, as an individual, just an average person, cannot wrap my mind around that.
Well, it's really frightening, and it's really sad. You know, you had these 51 intelligence specialists that came out for the last election and said the laptop computer was probably a Russian disinformation campaign. Well, the Wall Street Journal has an article out today that talks about the 51 intel know-nothings, or actually they did know something. They knew that it was not fake, that it was real, and several of them knew that, and they deliberately declined to get classified briefings from the FBI or from the CIA specifically that would say, yeah, this is the real deal. It's not a Russian fake job or anything else. And they went out just so they could campaign and they could basically have plausible deniability about what they were saying. There are people who hate Donald Trump so much, they betray their country. They betray each and every one of us and their oath of office and their duty to tell the truth and to be upfront with people who spent their entire lives working and supposedly against the enemies of this nation, decided they're going to turn those energies against a man that they hate and despise. And I've never seen a political candidate so hated, so despised, so savaged by the press and the left as I have Donald Trump. It's irrational. I mean, these people, and they impeached him twice, once over a phone call. Both times, of course, found innocent because he hadn't done anything improper or illegal or anything else. But they are just rabid. You cannot bring up Trump's name while these people's eyes glazing over and just going in frothing at the mouth when they talk about him. It's incredible. If you watch the morning talk shows and you watch MSNBC or CNN. I watched them yesterday, and it was just unbelievable the venom that came out of these people's mouth and how much they hate this man. And that's where we're at in this country. And unfortunately, they're major influencers, a lot of people. So,
well, people should not forget that the people that are propping him up, and I'm talking about Barack Obama, and I'm talking about Hillary Clinton and all of their supporters, those people, if they think that the American people are this blind, well, maybe the PSYOPs campaign is working, you know, exactly the way they thought it would. But I got to ask, I got to say that I am just blown away by people who would not immediately say, you know what, I'm just staying home, or I am totally opposed to what these people are doing to the American people in the United States and putting us at great risk. When you have Chairman Chi, who ends up in California, who was invited by Governor Newsom, who, when you have the North Koreans, when you have the Russian oligarchs that want to have, I mean, they must be salivating right now, Al. They must be salivating. And if people don't think this is very dangerous and they see for a fact that Donald Trump's going to be swept into office, there could be some very serious consequences to that before we get to November.
Well, what I'm afraid of, and I understand exactly what you're saying, but I'm afraid of is this judge next coming month, the 11th of July, Donald Trump will be standing in the New York courtroom, and the same judge that presided over this kangaroo court proceeding, convicting him of all these different things down in Manhattan, will basically sentence him to jail. I heard a journalist last night, and says, we have to do whatever it takes to keep Donald Trump from getting back in the White House. And I presume that means locking him up. And in some cases, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if some of these people with the darker forces in the government would not contemplate assassination. They will do whatever it takes to keep Donald Trump out of office. They hate him and fear him that much. So do not be surprised. I mean, they say, look, you know, jurists and law professors, well, he's a first time, it's a nonviolent crime, it should be nothing more than probation or a fine. Well, this judge is going to sentence him to jail. If he doesn't, I will be totally surprised, because this man hates Donald Trump as much as the rest. The very fact that he was selected to preside over this trial, as well as other trials of Trump associates, which is astronomical, you know, the odds of that happening are astronomically against it. So somebody's rigging the system there. He was selected to be presided over that trial for a reason, and I believe he will sentence him to jail to keep him off the campaign trail, to keep him from going to the Republican convention, which is like 4 or 5 days later after that, on 15 or 16 July. They will do whatever it takes to keep him out of the public eye and try to disparage him and make him ineligible one way or another to serve. And if they have to, I can see them sending him to Rikers Island, and I can see them trying to keep him from assuming the oath of office, even if he is elected legitimately, all the electoral and the popular vote. I can see them trying to keep him from taking the oath of office. This is going to be probably the worst constitutional crisis this country has faced since the Civil War. And I'm afraid it will probably... go ahead.
Well, Al, I just want you're spot on. I want to thank you for allowing me to speak this long, and I just want to say I would ask the believers out there and people of faith to pray, because we're going to need a lot of prayer, and we're going to need the hand of God to be involved in this as we move forward into November.
I agree. I totally agree with that, because this country's in deep trouble.
Thank you for listening to me.
Okay, well, thank you for calling. So, folks, give us a call, 238-5775. There's a lot of things we can talk about today. We can talk about the debate. We can talk about what's going on with that. We can talk about something totally different than that. You know, I mentioned one of the things that disturbed me greatly, which no one has commented on, is what's going on with Russia, North Korea, Iran, China, North Korean troops being deployed to the Ukraine to fight on the side of Russian troops. That should scare everybody. That is a major escalation of the conflict over there. It's one thing for North Korea to sell missiles and weapons and ammunition, things like that, to the Russians, just like the Iranians are doing, just like the Chinese are doing, bypassing sanctions and everything else going on. Sending troops is a major escalation. They're putting, you know, they're putting skin in the game, quite literally, and this bodes not well for the West. And the NATO countries, the European countries, should be very concerned about that at this point. We have another caller. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for answering my phone. I have two horrible questions. Number one, if somebody does something to Trump, then the vice president becomes president.
Yep.
Then what? And
Kamala Harris.
And what can we do to stop that from happening?
Well, if something terrible happens to Trump, Kamala Harris is a legitimate, constitutionally designated officer who would be sworn in as the next president of the United States. She'd be the first female or first woman president of the United States. And that's not a bad thing because she's a woman. It's just basically Kamala Harris is Kamala Harris. And I think she's a lot worse than Joe Biden because she is not senile, but she will vigorously promote the agenda that they have. That's really scary.
Do you know of anything that we could do as the people after she's sworn in to get her out immediately?
Nope. Not unless she violates the law and she's impeached and removed by a 2/3 vote of the Senate. She's there until the end of the term. Of course, she can vote against her in November. She has to basically run for office because the term of office ends January 20th of next year. So she'd only be president for a few months. But it doesn't take long to mess things up really bad.
Yeah, we found that out with Biden, didn't we? And,
yes,
and
we did.
And what happens if... if Trump is told he's got to go to prison, and yet he is supposed to be president?
Well, this is a state issue, and, you know, these appeals courts, you know, should be looking at this situation. I've seen multiple constitutional law professors just tear his trial to pieces and shred it. If this man was just an ordinary individual accused of these things, the appeals courts would have thrown this process out a long time ago. It never would have gone forward, in fact, never would have been prosecuted. This was a setup completely from beginning to end. It was a judicial lynching. That's exactly what has happened. It's the same as a black man being lynched in Mississippi in 1925 when the Klan was at its peak. So that's where we're at.
It's reality, though.
It is
now,
reality.
Where do we go from there?
I don't know.
I was hoping you wouldn't say that.
I don't know. I mean, it's who knows what's going to happen at that point. I hope the prayers work out. You know, that's all I can say. Maybe she'll have a change of heart, but I'm not counting on that at the moment.
I totally agree with the prayers being our only hope.
Okay.
Thank you for what you do.
All right. Thank you. All right. Another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello. Hello.
Hello, Al.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, you wanted something different? Well, we have a local issue here, Atascadero Lake. One of the things that people have been calling is that there's no fish in the lake anymore. And there's a simple solution. You seed the lake with some bass, bluegill, and catfish, and in 3 years' time, you're going to have an ecosystem in there that works.
I thought they did that already.
Dried up during the drought, and it killed it, and that's what people are complaining about. But I had a great idea.
Okay.
Have you ever flown over in a private plane this area, in the mountains and stuff? The place is full of water, and each one of these lakes has fish in it. And I do know two of them that have Florida largemouth bass that my son snuck in there against the law and caught 2 5-pounders and 8-pounders inside of an hour. But what my point is that with the wine industry, this is upper echelon clientele, fly fishing is a big business. And we have in this area, in these little lakes, if you can get access to them, the best fly fishing in the world. And I think then we can make some money on it.
Maybe they can. I know the biggest problem with the Atascadero Lake is keeping it clear when it gets hot in the summer and things like that, it doesn't really have any flow, and some types of fish, you know, like trout, for instance, require cleaner waters. I have to disagree with you, though, about the best fishing in the world, because I happen to live in the spot with the best fishing in the world, East Mississippi is right now. I know this because Hollywood celebrities fly out here all the time to fish. I'm in East Tennessee. In the Appalachian Mountains.
I've heard about that. Yeah, but I'm from southwestern Montana, and I grew up on the Big Hole River, which is now the biggest river on the planet. And, I've loved to fish that area. But my point is I think we got an industry here
that is unexploited.
And maybe I'll just put it out on the airwaves, and maybe somebody will come up with an idea on how to do it.
Well, maybe some of the idea, instead of telling you why it won't work, they'll come up with an idea on how to make it work. That'd be nice. See how it goes.
Do you got suggestions?
I'm not an expert on this in the slightest. I wouldn't begin to know what to do to make it work. The biggest problem is getting access, like you said, and a lot of these land, they don't want the public on the land at all for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, I know. I have experience with that. a gentleman by the name of Ted Turner on his ranch up in the Upper Ruby.
It's just an idea,
and you want something different, so I thought I'd make a lighten things up. It is kind of a radical day today.
Well, it's a difficult day to deal with, that's for sure, because the fate of the nation is pretty much at stake in what happens in the next several months, and it's going to go one way or the other. And if it goes with Biden again, I don't know what the country is going to look like, because the policies of the Democrats are so radical compared to what they were to the Democratic Party of 30 years ago. It's unrecognizable to most people. Because I remember what it was like, and we had guys like Sam Nunn and Scoop Japson, and we had people who loved the country.
There's a name I haven't heard in a while, none.
Yeah. I mean, those people loved America. The Democratic Party had leaders in it who served in World War II, and they loved their country. The people in the Democratic
Party hate America.
And they hate Americans.
Americans are not Europeans. We were founded on freedom, independence, rebellion, and you come to a point where, you know, what's best for the country. And I think we're at that point right now.
Well, I think we're kind of there. You know, there's people running on the other side. You know, all you hear is hate. You know, they teach kids to hate people based on their race, on their sex, on their sexual preference, everything else. And those aren't the kind of things we're supposed to be.
1930s with Mr. Hitler and Jews.
Well, they're doing that, too. I mean, the Jewish people are being persecuted by the left, not by the right. They're being persecuted by the left, by the Democrats, and Ivy League institutions. It's one of the worst places in the world for a Jewish kid to be right now is in Harvard, Columbia, Yale, Princeton, any of these places, because they're literally being physically attacked. They're being denied the right to go to classes. They're being beat up, and the administrations are doing nothing about it. And they had an incident in L.A. this last week. People are being denied the right to get into synagogue. They were being hit with pepper spray and bear spray, and the L.A. cops just stood by and watched and did nothing. And then you had all these other kids who were at Columbia, who were rioting and things like that and attacking Jewish students and rioting on behalf of this terrorist group, Hamas, and the district attorney dismissed all the charges. What kind of message is that sending? The days of Martin Luther King, you know, when we judge people on the content of their character, not by the color of skin, seem to have gotten lost. You know, that was a dream that a lot of people in this country shared, and he united the country and said what was happening in parts of the country discriminating was wrong, and he won the hearts and minds of millions of Americans, and we got rid of the bad aspects of American culture. At least we thought we did, but they've come back with a vengeance, and they're really, really ugly right now, and the Democrats are all in for this. All in for this. And
well,
they get their own story.
History repeats itself.
Seems to be. It's really sad.
But that gives us an advantage because we know what they're going to do, so we can take steps to prevent it.
Well, let's hope we do. If we lose the next election, I don't think that'll happen.
I'm an optimist.
Well, who would have dreamed that we would have a president of the United States in a national speech? You know, he's defending supposedly trans kids, called Trump bullying them because Trump wants girls to be able to go to girls' locker rooms and bathrooms without boys being present. That's the bottom line here we're talking about, and that's what's happening all over this country. Kids, girls are being denied opportunities in sports. They're losing scholarships. They're losing all kinds of opportunities and recognition for years of hard work because some guy comes along, and he's a guy. He wears a dress, says, I'm a girl, but he's a guy, and he says, I want to compete, and these people are letting him do it and go in their locker rooms. They have no privacy spaces. Everything about protecting women seems to have been thrown out the window by the Democrats, the radical Democrats. I think there's a lot of people in the Democratic Party don't like it either, but this is where leadership is.
When I was in high school, I was a basketball player, and my school had its first year of girls' basketball. And I was an assistant coach. I did scorekeeping and all that kind of stuff. But I know if I ended up in the girls' bathroom, they would have beat the crap out of me.
Well, they're not doing it now. They can. In fact, they had a girls' sports team. It was a, soccer team, basketball team. I can't remember. They were in Vermont. And it was a Christian school, and they said, no, we're not going to play in a game where we have to compete against boys who are 6 feet tall and so forth. It was a volleyball team, I think. And they said, we're just not going to compete, and they withdrew from the competition. As a result, the state came back and says, okay, you can't compete anywhere in the state. Oh, by the way, your school can't have any academic competitions. You can't participate in any state activities whatsoever, and nobody from the other school can go to your school and take advantage of what you had. And they had a very vibrant program. Students could go to different schools for different classes and else. They just tried to destroy this school because these girls did not want to compete in an unfair playing field against boys who were saying that they were girls. They had a guy who was 6 foot something tall, and they had no chance against that. And he said, that's not fair. It's like taking a ringer in or doping somebody, you know, with drugs so they can play a sport. It's not fair. It's not a level playing field at all. And yet the state of Vermont, which is run by the Democratic Party, came down and just devastated this small Christian school and said, well, you have to change your policies. You have to change your religious beliefs if you want to play sports in the state of Vermont. That's where we're at today, where the First Amendment goes out the window and freedom of conscience has no place at all in the public sphere under Biden, under the Democratic Party as it exists today. It is the most radical organizations imaginable. You know, in the debates last night, he actually denied that there was abortions going on in the country at the 9th month of pregnancy. Yet in California, you can have an abortion right through the moment of birth, literally. It's not all that unusual either. And they even had a law proposed, I don't know if it passed, where for 28 days after birth, a child could be allowed to die without any legal consequences. That's pathetic. But that kind of stuff is going on all over the country.
I got a prediction that this nonsense is a fad, and it's going to burn itself out because I just got faith in the species of Homo sapiens. I mean, there's logic and there's realism, and, you know, sooner or later, this whatever is happening to us, and I had my son-in-law, who is a behavioral scientist, say it's because of the internet and social media. It's kind of like the old 10 minutes of fame syndrome, wanting to be long. At least that's what his idea was, and don't disagree. It's going to burn itself out.
But what about all the damage that's being done in the meantime? What about all the opportunities are lost? You know, you have a window of opportunity as a young person to excel in sports, and very few go on to the Olympics. The International Olympic Committee says that's not going to happen there. But the bottom line is people are having opportunities and scholarships taken from them by people like that. And you got a president and a political party at the national level is forming laws, trying to change Title IX, which was created to protect women and women's sports, basically rewritten completely to write biological women out of the sport and allow anybody to come in who says they feel like a woman this week and to compete. That's wrong. And the privacy rights, you have sexual assaults against young girls in bathrooms by people who should not be there. It's happening in middle schools, happening in grade schools, high schools. Just like millions of people coming across our borders unvetted, and they talk about crime is going down. Well, Democrat cities in the north are not reporting violent crime to the FBI, so it makes it look like crime's going down. That's been going on for a couple of years now. They simply don't report their statistics. But the immigrant crime is on top of already existing crime. And, you know, you're having these incidents around the countries where young women are being attacked, raped, murdered by illegals, and the president's denying it, his party's denying it. You've got a whole group of people where power is the be-all, end-all at any cost, and they don't care what the cost is to ordinary men and women and children who live in this country.
In the middle of that, you got human trafficking.
Oh, yeah, big time. That's huge now. And it happens.
Yeah, no, that's kind of a bugaboo with me. That's something I have fought against.
And it's in Atascadero.
It's a tough battle.
When I was living in California 3 years ago, it was in Atascadero. I had incidents there where a group
of evidence on that kind of stuff, big time.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Unfortunately.
You may live in a great place, and Atascadero is a wonderful place, so is San Luis County, but the reality is it's there. You're right on the north-south corridor and on the 101, and they're going through there all the time, and sometimes it's in your town. And if people aren't aware of what's going on, sometimes it can go on right under your nose and not realize it's happening. But it happened there. And there was instances.
You wouldn't believe the amount of counterfeit money that comes through here during fair time.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised.
You wouldn't believe the amount.
Well, crime is what it is, you know. But anyway, things are not as good as some people like to think. So I hope it's a fad. I hope it goes away. I hope the American people wake up on November 5th and says enough is enough. In fact, if they're voting early, I think they say enough is enough. And we'll see what happens. Well, who do you think is going to replace Biden if he can't make it through September? What do you think will happen? Who could possibly take his place besides Kamala Harris if they decide to kick him off the ballot?
Isn't that the $64,000 question right now?
Yep.
My opinion, I think he's going to stay in because they have no choice because of logistics alone, and he's going to go down in a burning flame. And I happen to hear something that there's people kind of talking about relocating to the Caribbean. In other words, the rats are fleeing the ship. So I'm optimistic.
Okay. Well, you spread it around because we could use some optimism right now.
All right. You have a great day, buddy.
All right. Thank you. Have a good one. Okay, the phone lines are open, 238-5775. We got about 16, 17 minutes left, so give us a call. Let me know what's on your mind today. I want to bust some myths while I'm here until someone calls. You know, there's a lot of stuff that you've heard about how terrible Israel has been and that they're starving the poor people in Gaza to death. That's simply not true. They came out with the United Nations report about famine and so forth. And apparently they said, and previously said, that Israel is blocking delivery of sufficient food aid to Gaza. Apparently the Israelis facilitated massive increases in shipments and commercial goods, so they're alleviating shortages in Gaza. In other words, there is no famine per se. And they've shown it possible to meet the needs of civilians while continuing to pursue the terrorists. And they basically undermines the indictment of Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, for war crimes, supposedly for causing a famine. But now the UN's come back and said, well, actually, there really wasn't a famine at all. And they simply didn't know what they were talking about. And there's no famine imminent either. They've done everything they possibly can, which is what the Israelis said all along. They always try to protect civilians. They take extraordinary means of doing so. Yeah, there's a lot of destruction on the surface, but they move people out. They tell them to move out. They call them on the phone to say, you need to leave because we're going to attack in this area pretty soon. And they've done extraordinary things. No other country does that. We don't call up people. We're getting ready to drop bombs somewhere and says, by the way, we're about to drop a bomb on this house. You need to leave the neighborhood. There is an issue with the Biden administration withholding certain types of military assistance to Israel, specifically 2,000-pound bombs. And you say, why would you need a 2,000-pound bomb in a residential area? It's because Hamas tunnels are 100 feet deep in the ground, and you need certain types of weapons to penetrate that deep. And the other thing is they use precision-guided mechanisms on these bombs to make sure they go in a certain location, and they minimize the damage to the surrounding areas. I'm not sure how they do that, but I do know that they are doing that, and there are ways of making that happen. But they need them to bust up those tunnels in the depths of Gaza. Also, there's still 120 hostages, including a number of Americans, still being held hostage in Gaza by Hamas. That is an evil, evil organization. It's founded and based upon the Nazi Party, Nazi Party under Adolf Hitler. That's their credo. They have a long history of association, going back to the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, who spent a good part of World War II in Berlin as a personal guest of Adolf Hitler. So whose side are you going to be on? Let's go to the phones. We have another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes. Tascaro Lake, all they need is a little cash. Buy some fish and put them in there.
Okay. Is it clean enough to put them in this time of year?
Oh, yeah. If you put fish in there, they'll clean it up.
Okay. Well, I'm not an expert on that. I'll take your word for it.
I don't know why the city doesn't put fish in there.
They're not allowed to do that.
Zoo up to the hills.
Well, they're not allowed to do anything to the lake. The lake is controlled by the Department of Fish and Wildlife in California and possibly the feds, too.
I call a fishing game.
They're saying
they put any kind of fish in there they want.
Huh. Okay. Well, I know there's all kinds of permits. I know when they cleaned it, you know, they pretty well said they had purview over what the city did and did not do. So I guarantee there's got to be some layers of state bureaucracy in there before they can do anything. And there's also, I don't know what the financial situation in Atascadero is, but it's not a cheap thing to do either. But, yeah, it's a good thought.
Well, they need fish in there for big people who want to stay there and go there.
Well, when I was younger, a long time ago, I know people fish there all the time. And don't know I want to eat.
I did too. Like, 6 years old, I fished there.
Okay. Well, it's been there a long time. I know it was cleaner then, and they had less runoff into it and things like that. But, yeah, if you keep that lake area, I know they had fishing just like they used to have swimming in there, and that seems to have gone by the wayside as well. But you ought to ask the city.
I water feed on that lake.
Water ski back when they had motorboats on it. That's a long time ago.
Yeah. That was born in 1942.
Oh, okay. That has been a long time. So, okay. Well, thank you very much.
There's a fish in there, David.
Okay. Well, that's something people take up. There's at least two of you now, the one fish in the lake. So we'll see what happens. Hey, thanks for your call.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Summer is perfect for barbecuing, so why not barbecue in style with a new wood pellet grill from Blake's Hardware. Enjoy barbecue all year round with a digital controlled heavy duty wood pellet grill. And Blake's has the latest models of the Pit Boss or Louisiana Grill priced right. For all you hobby enthusiasts, Blake's Hardware carries a full line of radio controlled planes, cars, and boats. You'll always find what you need at Blake's True Value Hardware Center, 1701 Riverside Avenue, Paso Robles. Blake's True Value Hardware Center.
Hi, this is Barry Oxford, president of BD Oxford Financial on Main Street in Templeton. Perhaps you heard my commercial about Roth conversions. To date, we've converted over $70 million without reducing anyone's principal. That's huge, and it's not too good to be true. Join us live online July 10th at 1 p.m. and learn how to access real money to pay the Roth conversion taxes, review actual Roth conversion case designs, learn the real benefits of taxable versus tax-free income, learn about the effects of the 2026 tax increase if the wrong guy wins. Go to bdofinancial.com to register. That's bdofinancial.com. Reach us at 805-434-6971 and learn how to divorce the IRS.
Welcome to that new money smell of freedom. Hurry in. This is the last week to earn entries for your chance to win $50,000 in cash or $50,000 in slot replay from Chumash Casino Resort. Imagine all the possibilities. Drawings this Sunday, June 30th, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Welcome to freedom. Must be present to win. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Okay, we're back, and the phone lines are open, 238-5775. We talked about a number of things today, a lot about the debate, Biden, his administration. I mentioned the danger to our liberties and the danger to the country if this group continues to govern the nation. And I would say if you're going to be praying for the nation, pray for godly men and women to govern this country, be elected. But I'm really frightened by what's happening. I'm very concerned. One of the domestic threats to liberty has come out, and this is a really scary thing because even this is a bit much, even for the Biden administration. According to documents obtained by American First Legal, the Department of Homeland Security, Biden's Homeland Security Department, called the Homeland Intelligence Experts Group, revealed the Biden administration views a person likely to commit domestic violent extremist attacks with those who support former President Donald Trump, have been in the military, are in the military, or are religious. So if you're observant Catholic, Protestant, Jew, Muslim, anything like that, you're a potential terrorist, according to these people. If you go to church on a regular basis, if you attend temple on a regular basis, if you take your religious beliefs seriously, if you served in the military, if you are currently serving in the military, now it's presumably if you have people in your family in the military, if you support Donald Trump for any reason at all, if you're a Republican, I guess, you're a domestic threat to the liberties of us all and need to be watched. Now, what do they intend to do about this? Well, this group has also got a proposal to expand Homeland Security's reach into local communities in an ambiguous and non-threatening way, contemplating ways to get teachers and mothers to report their children to the federal government, I presume. For what? Because they decided to join the armed forces? Because they've served in Iraq or Afghanistan or Vietnam or any of the other places, because they attend a ceremony on Veterans Day, because they observe the 4th of July. I mean, the last time, you know, the totalitarian states do this, the Soviet Union was famous for this. They even have a statue under the old Soviet system, communist system, of a young boy who reported his father to the authorities during the time of Stalin, during the purges, and his father supposedly killed him. Now, that's a fictional story as far as the boy. They don't have a particular boy, but they did encourage kids to do that. In North Korea, they set, in that communist dictatorship, they set up husbands and wives all the time. They'll plant a story with one of them that their husband or their wife is engaging in subversion, and then they'll wait and see if they report their husband or wife to the authorities to make sure that they are truly faithful. They would even turn in their wife or turn in their husband. That's the kind of world that that goes down this path. And it appears through what the Biden administration is doing with the assistance of the national media and I presume with the educational authorities who will do whatever they're asked to do on behalf of the people that hate America that are running this country. And I say that not lightly because I really believe, for instance, Barack Obama, in my opinion, is the first American president that hates most Americans. He really dislikes us. And I think he dislikes the country, and I think he felt the job as president wasn't quite big enough, that he had other ambitions beside that. He once said that, allegedly said, that the best of all possible worlds would be the power behind the throne, so to speak, where someone else is actually the president, but he's actually calling the shots without having to take all the heat. That's interesting. Anyway, here's another thing that, you know, some of the conspiracy theorists were probably more right than we thought regarding COVID-19. There's another study that just came out in The Lancet. That's the British Journal of Medical Issues, a very distinguished journal. And they had a study came out, underwent peer review, and is now available online, which was suppressed during COVID-19. But it says a systematic review of autopsy findings in deaths after COVID-19 vaccination. They analyzed 325 autopsy cases and found that 73.9% of deaths were either directly due to or significantly attributed to by the COVID-19 vaccination. Now, this was shut down. This report came out, and within 24 hours, it was taken off the air. This was a couple of years ago. Well, now it's out. And it was downloaded over 100,000 times, according to Dr. William Mockus. And that's a pretty frightening thing. The people that wrote this paper at the top of their fields, and it's the kind of thing the public should have a right to know because we're all being told we had to get these vaccinations. And most of the people who died from this, supposedly, I think there were, let's see, the average age was 70.4 years, and they said that, numbers, 37,647 people may have died from the COVID-19 vaccine as of May 31st, 2024. Now, we've been pushing this on young people, telling them if you don't get this vaccine, you can't do this, you can't do that. What is it going to take for people to learn that, you know, when you rush something like this through, there's going to be consequences, and you probably shouldn't push it on people who shouldn't get it. Everybody that we knew about COVID, the biggest people who were vulnerable were people my age in their 70s and their 60s, people with comorbidities such as diabetes, obesity, heart conditions, things like that. And yet we're making healthy young teenagers take these shots. And they said, well, there could be real consequences for their hearts. And there's been a number of young male athletes in particular, males apparently were more vulnerable, who've had sudden cardiac arrest and all kinds of heart problems as a result of this. And if they survive, they've had lifelong complications for something that should not have happened. Yet, is blindly making people take these vaccines, blindly participate in the kinds of things they shouldn't have to. This is wrong. And the American people need to stop being sheep. They need to listen to what's going on. They need to read, be informed. They need to tell their leaders, their political leaders, no, we're not going to shut schools down again. We're not going to do this kind of stuff that you're demanding of us because you don't have the science behind you. And if you did, you know, we have certain rights. You're not going to suspend the Constitution. In Michigan, Governor Whitmer, a Democratic governor up there, decided you could not go to your cabin in the mountains if you had if they had lockdowns in place. You had to stay in your home in the city. Weren't allowed to move around. Weren't allowed to travel. Other places put you couldn't go more than certain distances, couldn't do more without travel permits and everything else. It varied state by state, and you find that the red states that were most open, kept their schools open, did not have any higher levels of morbidities than people that took all these draconian measures. And I still have this image in California driving down the highway, and you see people long after COVID was peaked and gone, that you see people driving down the highway wearing a mask with all their windows dry up in their car, no one in the car but them. I mean, there's people that just are so paranoid they can't get over this. And that's really kind of a sad state of affairs. And they're willing to give up all their liberties and everything else. When you give up your liberty, don't expect to get it back in your lifetime. It's not going to happen. Because when they push you to the point where you have to fight or surrender, you have to make that choice. If you don't fight for it, you got to surrender. And if you surrender, don't expect your liberty back. It's not free. It's paid for at a price. Our founders found that out 249 years ago, if you date it from 1775, when we had Lexington and Concord, and they stood up to the British. That's a long time ago. I don't know if Americans would do that today. I don't think we could do that today. I don't think the American people have been mentally conditioned with that sense of freedom and independence, because, you know, the American colonists weren't that obstreperous initially until after the French and Indian War, and they found out the government was not going to live up to its contract, was not going to protect them from the depredations of hostile tribes or the French coming down from Canada along with these tribes and butchering people and their homes, which is one of the things that happened, and kind of hardened American colonists' opinions about the British government and what they were doing. We're a different country. We have people from all over the world that don't share those values a lot. But, you know, you just got to remember this. When you start acquiescing to everything politicians say and you don't demand good answers from them, when you don't vote, when you don't take part in the system, you just let somebody else do it because you have something better to do, you get the government you deserve. Right now, we got Joe Biden. I don't think Americans really deserve Joe Biden because I don't think that the media has a level playing field out there. It's pretty well heavily weighted to one side. But nevertheless, I don't know if we can survive another 4 years of him as an independent republic. So we will see. I hope and pray that the American people wake up and we continue to be able to broadcast like we are, because that may go away. Their day will probably come when they try to take my voice off the air, your voice off the air, and say, shut up, go home, pay your taxes. We don't want to hear from you. That's what dictators do. They say, we don't want to hear from you anymore, and they take away your voice. Newspapers are good at that, and corporations buy them up. Make sure you can't say what you want to say anymore, and they take away the letters column. They don't want to hear your opinion. At any rate, more debates coming up, more in the political season. It's a really interesting time. And I might remind people that living in interesting times is an old Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times. That means, you know, war, famine, flood, fire, earthquake, all those things. Almost like living in California in fire season. There's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of things that are happening with people. We're out of time, so we'll talk to you next week. Take care.
This hour of Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM was brought to you by Farm Supply, serving your fencing, irrigation, and livestock needs since 1950. Farm Supply, for the farmer in you.
AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.